On behalf of Father Tom King, Deacon Christian Cohn, Deacon Bob Fay, and Deacon Paul Fye, and the staff of Guardian Angels, I want to welcome you to this Christmas Vigil Mass and to wish all of you a blessed and peace-filled Christmas. May the Christ Child fill your hearts and your homes with his gift of peace. This year, I wrote 120 Christmas cards. I wrote them all by hand. I even wrote the addresses by hand. I had a lot of time on my hands. I only received, though, 20 responses. And of the 20 Christmas cards I received, only 10 of them had anything to do with Christmas, and the other 10 were just pictures of people's families, kind of catching me up through the year, half of which said Merry Christmas, and the other half said Happy Holidays. Seems that Christ, in some ways, is fading from Christmas. I listen to the radio, and there are many holiday songs that usually begin right after Halloween, but very few of them are the traditional Christmas carols anymore, as society becomes more and more secular. We seem to be forgetting why we celebrate this great day. My father, too, he watches television in his old age now, and he watches every now and then the Hallmark Channel, and they, too, start Christmas movies around Halloween. And he says, you know what? None of these movies have anything to do with Christmas. They're all romance stories set somewhere in a small town near Portland, Oregon, but they have nothing to do with Christmas. I even see people with the bumper stickers, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Perhaps we are forgetting why we celebrate this great feast. And we have to ask, what does it mean to celebrate Christ's birth today? It could be that people have forgotten what actually happened. Let us reflect on St. Luke's gospel, which we just heard. At a certain moment in history, in a society which was divided, not unlike ours, between conquerors and subjects, between rich and poor, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. All went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. In that moment in history, something happened, something which probably should have been forgotten, but which hasn't been forgotten entirely. At least you are here. You've testified that it has not been forgotten entirely. But there was an event. A man and a woman, not the great people of the earth, were awaiting their first child. They were going to a different town to register their names during a census. They were part of a people, the people of Israel, but they were among the lowly and forgotten of the earth. They were searching for a place to stay, to have their first child. But there was no room for them in the inn. And so they had their child in a tiny cave or grotto. Do we realize that this event, which should have been forgotten, is what we celebrate? This event. Do we recognize that this is the reason why we have been so busy these days? To celebrate this event, this day. Busily consumed by work, parties, activities, we easily forget the real meaning of this day. A child was born. This baby was born totally unknown, yet something profound happened. The shepherds were mysteriously asked by an angel to come to see this child, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they came, for the angel announced to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." When this good news was announced, heaven and earth rejoiced, and the angels cried out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." A bit later, the powerful of the day also heard of this birth. St. Matthew recounts in his gospel that Herod became so concerned about the threat to his power that he called together his entire administration, who told him something happened there in Bethlehem. They told him that the Jewish people had been awaiting a Messiah, and many people thought that this child could be that Messiah, that deliverer. Even some mysterious men came from the east, following a star, to see this newborn infant. This child attracted people from all over the world. What was it about him? It wasn't that he had great programs or great laws or platitudes, but he attracted them. There was something wonderful about the presence of this child that drew shepherds, angels, and the Magi. It tells us about what Christianity really is. It is an encounter. It's an encounter with someone that fills us with fascination, who attracts us, who not only responds to our heart's desires, but who also surpasses the most ambitious expectations that we could have. The child, born for us this night, takes us out of our mediocrity and leads us to wonder, to a wonder that fascinates life. This is what we celebrate, this event of his birth. In the mystery of the incarnation, it was a child who surpassed our expectations. The Word of God, the eternal Son of the Father, drew near to us. He attracted, not by coming in power and might, not with swords, not with flashes of lightning and thunder, but he came to us, God drew near to us, in the tenderness of a little child. The Son of God made himself little to make us great. He gave himself to us so that we might give ourselves to him and love him, and love him even in the poorest of the poor. Look upon a little baby. See how people are in church when they see babies. They make eyes at them. They make noises and faces that they wouldn't otherwise make in public. They're eager to hold a baby in their arms. They all stretch out their arms toward the child. But the child Jesus also stretches out his arms toward us. He wants to be held by us, and he wants to hold on to us, to embrace us with the mercy of his Father, to show us the love of God the Father, the love that God has for sinners. It is the birth of this child who would one day spread his arms on the cross to suffer and die for us that we celebrate this evening. This child who was born, who attracted the shepherds and the angels and the magi, from his birth would be a source and center of controversy that has not finished even to this day. There will be those who are attracted to him, who want to see him, who want to embrace him and to follow him. And there will be those who, like Herod, want to destroy him, to deny him, to pretend as if he didn't exist. Those who want to see him, and those who follow him even now, do so because this child revealed himself as someone, a savior. The event of his coming, at least in this fashion, was unforeseen and had an unforeseeable quality. A newness that warmed the hearts of those shepherds and the Magi. Suddenly he appeared. St. Paul says in his letter to Titus, when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds and we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. This is why God sent his Son, born as a child, not to judge or condemn us, but to give us hope of eternal life. This child grew up, and he attracted others. John the Baptist pointed him out. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John, who had been the best preacher in 200 years, the first prophet, whom some even thought might be the Messiah. His disciples saw this man, Jesus, for the first time and spent a whole day with him. They encountered him and heard his voice and were drawn by his presence. One of those was named Andrew, and he went to his brother named Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah." Yes, his presence attracted and attracts. He called and he said, "Follow me." And he promised those who would follow him, everyone here in this church, that they would reach God. They would see his Father if they followed him. He made a proposal to them, a proposal charged with meaning. "Follow me, and you will see the glory of God." He didn't say, "Follow this rule or that rule." He didn't say, "Give me this much money or that much money." He said, "Follow me, be with me, and you will see the glory of God." And that glory, the shepherds began to see, and the Magi saw, and his mother Mary and Saint Joseph saw, and the angels above saw it, and all they could cry out was, "Glory to God in the highest." The child born in Bethlehem grew, and he attracted disciples, and he gave to the world a gift, the gift of his church. And we are members of that church. And this church, inserted in humanity, shares all the difficulties, all the challenges and wounds of a fallen humanity in need of a Redeemer. But in the end, this church, where we have gathered, which we are proud to call ourselves members of, this church is the place where Jesus continues to offer each person the chance to encounter him anew, to receive his Holy Spirit, to receive the power to be his witnesses, and to exercise this witness every single day, to be embraced by the arms of his mercy. We gather as a church this evening, as God's family, to celebrate an event, not something that simply happened 2,000 years ago, but something that is alive, something that proposes something new, something that opens us up to a sense of mystery, a sense of God and his saving plan for all of humanity. Just think for a moment of what the shepherds must have felt at the angel's announcement, or when they saw the child and his mother. They who simply tended their flocks day and night, who worked by the sweat of their brows, who had nothing in this world, they saw him, and they had hope, and they believed, and everything was peaceful. Think of the joy of the Magi when they saw the star and it led them to the child and his mother, and after that long journey, at last, they had reached their goal. They had seen the Messiah. Something absolutely new happened that night. Something which was unforeseen and which should have been forgotten, but it changed the course of history. It changes lives, yours and mine. And because we have seen this child, and this child continues to come to us in Holy Communion, our lives are different. And every day has to be different. Does not his birth seize you too? If you are old or young, think back to your first Christmases. Think back to your experience of Mass or a nativity scene. Think back to the innocence of childhood. It is the newness of his birth and the joy it brings, the joy of a child that must be shared with our world. Sometimes we have to emerge from the past to understand the newness of what Christianity is in its essence. It is an announcement of an event, a person comes to save us. God comes as a little child to save us. And he is here with us. And he will be with us until the end of time. And this is what I think it means at the beginning of St. John's Gospel when it says, "And the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us." Yes, in his church is Christ, born a child in Bethlehem, crucified at Calvary, risen and glorified, and seated at the right hand of his Father. And it is our mission as a church to announce God's presence to the whole world, to all of humanity, to those dwelling in darkness, that he is the Savior. It is this presence that changes our lives, yours and mine, every single day. God is still with us. And this newborn child mysteriously and surprisingly invites us, fragile as we are, to be part of this mission, to announce with the angel to each and every person we meet, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.